Union Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, January 30th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. In studio, we have members of the Bahamas-China Friendship Association. We have the president, Mr. Donovan Moxie, and we have the secretary, Mr. Ian Brown. I didn't know that we actually have an association called the Bahamas-China Friendship Association. So I said, let me invite them on so I can orientate myself as to what it is, how it came about. Why is the organization here in the Bahamas? What is its mandate? And how can Bahamas benefit? Because no, I'm pro-Bahamian, and I want to know how Bahamas can benefit by being a part of the association in general. And whatever the association is promoting and highlighting, how can Bahamians be aware of it, right? So what I'm going to do is introduce Donovan Moxie, who's the president, and have him give an orientation, an explanation, you know, a narrative, that's a better word, of what the association is, and a brief history of how it started and where is it now.
Excellent. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Bahamas. Certainly good to be here. And again, I'm Donovan Moxie. I'm the president of the Bahamas-China Friendship Association. I've been the president of the association, and now this is my third year. And so, we've been an organization that I've been very proud to be a part of. And this organization has a history that goes back more than 20 years. And sitting here with me is obviously my secretary, Mr. Ian Brown. He'll get a chance to speak later on in the show. But he's been a part of the organization now for going on 2 years. Yeah. And he studied in China. He's fluent in Mandarin. And he's a very accomplished young man who has a very bright future ahead of him. So we'd love to have people meet him and understand who he is and really get a feel for what he does when it comes to his Chinese skills. I think he also teaches Mandarin as well. And so anybody who wants to learn Mandarin, certainly there's an opportunity to work with Mr. Brown. So going back to the founding, so when you look at the relationship between the Bahamas and China, we normalized relations as a government back in 1997, mm-hmm. where the Bahamas normalized relations with China, and they established diplomatic connections, if you will, as well.
Yes.
Well, shortly after that happened in 1997, there was a group of persons that actually went from the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce to visit China and to understand what are those opportunities for people-to-people connection, economic opportunities, and the like. And so while they were in China, they found out about an umbrella organization that the Chinese government founded back more than 70 years ago called the Chinese People's Association for Friendship with Foreign Countries. That's a pretty long title. And what it basically is an organization that actually looks to connect China and various countries on a people-to-people basis. And so for some of us who are pretty old, we can remember the people-to-people program mm-hmm. with the Ministry of Tourism. Well, this is that times 1,000 is what they did, because they recognized having that people-to-people connections was very important. So our organization, the Bahamas-China Friendship Association, was then formed in 2004.
Okay.
And so we're not unique, given the fact that there's friendship associations for China in all over the Caribbean, in the United States, in the South Pacific, in Europe, in Africa. These are all over the world. In fact, we are one of more than 400 friendship associations across the globe.
400?
400, yes. Quite a number. And so it is not unique to us. And so some of our founders included, obviously, Ambassador Joseph Curry. Mm-hmm. He was the first president. He's now ambassador to the Holy See. Mm-hmm. He's also president emeritus for us, so he's very active in the organization. There's also Suharto Folks, who's the former governor general mm-hmm. of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He was the founding vice president. You have Mr. Philip Simon, which is the founding secretary. He's now president of Royal Caribbean Beach Club. Mr. Anthony McKinney, Mr. Marlon Johnson. He was the assistant treasurer. Anthony McKinney, of course, was the treasurer. Anthony Capron. He was in charge of public relations. And of course, he was the former editor here at The Guardian. And then you also had Mr. Brian Wong, Mr. Lowell Mortimer, and Mr. Kerry Leonard. They were the trustees of the organization.
It's a prestigious group.
Very prestigious group. Because at the time, the government saw that forming relations, not just on a diplomatic government-to-government level, but on a people-to-people level was also important. And so these gentlemen got together and formed the organization. Now, when the organization was formed, the objectives basically encompass three pillars or bridges of connections. And these basically had a connection with economic opportunities, so Bahamas to China. There was also cultural bridges, so to learn each other's from a cultural standpoint and all of those various aspects associated with that. And then there's also an educational bridge, so an opportunity for people to learn and go to university, which is what Mr. Brown benefited from, because he had the opportunity to go to China on a scholarship and focus on his studies and also learn Mandarin at the same time. And so what we've been doing as an association is essentially carrying out those objectives based on the activities that we undertake on a regular basis. And so that's my opening. And so what I would like to do, obviously, there's a lot we can talk to and unpack. But before I continue to speak, I really want Mr. Brown to say good morning to the Bahamian people.
I want Mr. Brown
and to say something in Mandarin.
Yeah, Mandarin. I want to say good morning in Mandarin. Yes, go ahead. Ni hao ma.
Da jia hao. Zao shao hong Bahama. Wo shi Ian Brown. Zhong wen ming jie shi Song Fu An. That's too much.
No, man, just a little bit more. I'll make sure that you're fluent and you're not trying to fool me. But a little bit more. Just say something a little bit more. I'm see how far you can go.
How far I can go. Okay. Shenzai was I Weibao Diantai. I'm on Guardian Radio.
Oh, okay. So, yes, you do speak Mandarin.
Yeah, it's a little
real.
Bit. Yeah,
it's
a little bit. Yeah.
So, you happened, was fortunate to get a scholarship. Did you get a scholarship because you joined the Bahamas China Friendship Association, or you got the scholarship beforehand?
Oh, this was beforehand. I didn't even know the association existed. Okay. So how I got the scholarship, I was enrolled at UB at the time, and then they had the Confucius Institute there.
Remember that?
So, of course, as a prerequisite, when you're trying to do your studies in UB, you have to do a secondary language. Mm-hmm. I did Spanish and French in high school, wasn't good at it. Mm-hmm. So I needed something else. So I went through the catalog, looking, I saw a Chinese program there, so I did that. And we had lecturers there who were from China, who came there to teach us. So I did that for two semesters, and at the end of the second semester, a teacher told us, if you guys are serious, we have a scholarship program, you take the exam, you pass it, you get the scholarship. So I did the exam, they passed it, I got the scholarship.
Oh, you got to take an exam too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. You got to do a Chinese proficiency exam called the HSK, Han Yu Shui Ping Kao Shi. So it's just a proficiency exam. So how it works, well, now it's up to like level 9. But when I did it, it was up to level 6. Mm-hmm. So for you, you had to get at least level 3 or 4, and you get a scholarship. And that takes you, once you get to China, you do a full year-long boot camp. Mm-hmm. Nothing but Chinese, learn the ins and outs, how to speak it, write it, all the different kind of stuff. Then once you're done with that, then you can pursue your degree, however you want to do that, apply for another scholarship, get that going.
And you were able to learn Mandarin in the year?
Yeah, because keep in mind, it's like 5 days a week, all morning, all day, pure Chinese, and you're in the environment too. So
let me just interject here. Bahamian brilliance.
Yes. Bahamian brilliance. I'm impressed.
Yeah, because this university I went to from UB, the program was a university called Nanjing University of Information Science and Technology. Mm-hmm. So that's in Nanjing, China. If you're not familiar with that, if you know Shanghai, just go north.
Okay.
There you go. So when you're there, it's not like a really big city. It has a city side to it, but it's more also a countryside. So it's not a case where you have a lot of people speaking English.
So you studied your degree. What is your degree?
So my degree is in Chinese teaching and translation.
Okay, you're an interpreter.
Exactly. So okay. I can teach it, I can tour it, I can write it, however you want to
do
it.
And you use that still?
I do. So I do it privately, whereas people individually one-on-one would do things with me, or I work with businesses, I work with schools, things like that. Like previously, before I worked with Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they had a RIFT program there where they teach their upcoming cohorts, little worldly languages, worldly things, stuff like that, to prepare themselves. Work with smaller schools, such as I worked with a Catherine Academy before, okay. Bay West. There's another school I can't mention right now because that's still in the works. Mm-hmm. But it's an elite school. But yeah, little things like that.
So you came home now, you're working.
Yeah.
And now, how did you hear about the Bahamas China Friendship Association and then decided to join?
Well, my journey coming back home was a rough one because I came home during the pandemic.
Ah.
So it was a case of...
You trying to escape the lockdown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's literally how the story went, and my parents knew it very well. So I came on the flight, and next day I was trying to recover. The day after that, I was on the beach, got the news. So January, when lockdown was happening in China, nobody knew about it yet on this side of the planet. Then come March, lockdown. So I did my last bit of degree here. Now, when it came to the association, I heard nothing about it. I never knew it existed for this long. But in about 2024, around that time, I had some people as part of the association keep advertising different things. And I was trying to figure out, was this association, things like that. It was actually the calligraphy event I saw first.
Ah.
And I was trying to figure out, what's this about, how to get into it. And then it was a very social area I got into. They had like an open meeting to come in and see what's what, see if you like it. So I liked it. And then 2024, that same, later that year, I became a member. 2025, last year, they elected me as secretary, and I'm still doing it now.
Okay. So yeah. Let me go back to Mr. Moxie. How does one become a member? Because it seems to be a prestigious group. I want to know, how can I join?
Actually, the founders of this organization were very prestigious, and I did mention the name to you as well. So joining the organization is very simple and easy. So we have a website, bcfa242.org.
BCFA.
BCFA, which stands for Bahamas China Friendship Association, then 242.org, because we're also a registered nonprofit organization.
Okay.
So BCFA242.org. And there you can see a link that says membership. We have three levels of membership. There's a regular member, which is $100 a year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a student member, which is $25 a year, which is open to all students. And then there's a business member or corporate member, which is $500 per year.
Mm-hmm.
And so to join the organization, you go, you pay your membership fee, and you're in.
And what do I get?
Now, great question. So now from a exposure standpoint, obviously now you're connected with individuals who actually have a love and a focus on learning more about China and actually doing business in China.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the opportunity now to get around these individuals to be able to do those kinds of things. The other thing you also do as a member is there are various opportunities that the embassy may put forth to us. And as a member, you get first preference to look at those particular opportunities. For instance, when you look at our trade mission that's ongoing now, we're limiting our delegation right now to only 25 delegates. Members get first preference to be a part of our delegation that travels through as well. And so those are some of the benefits of obviously becoming a member and being a part of the organization. There's social events that are invitation only. Members get opportunities to be a part of those as well. And so again, the beauty of being a part of a member in this particular organization is being around individuals that have like minds in terms of being open to form relationships in China, whether they're relationships of friendship or relationships related to commerce and business, as well as educational opportunities. So this gives you access into those opportunities.
And I see the organization is called the Bahamas China Friendship Association, but we have a Chinese community here.
Correct.
Are there any local Chinese, Chinese Bahamian?
Oh yeah, they're connected. They're connected through the group as well. Mm-hmm. In fact, our treasurer, Mr. Lloyd Wong,
mm-hmm.
he's been a part of the organization for probably more than 10 years, mm-hmm. and he's connected deep into the Chinese group. There's also others as well who are part of the group as well. And so the Chinese community that is here, their interconnection is more through a business and commercial interconnection. Is mm-hmm. what they do, which is fine. It's what they do. But you also have them come out and support the activities of the embassy as well as the activities of the association. And so many of us have relationships and connections to those particular companies. In fact, we have companies here that actually help sponsor some of our events as well and support us in those areas as well in terms of the things that we do in the community. So we have a very good relationship with the quote-unquote Chinese community.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about activities that and charities that the organization either spearhead or partner with, right? In the past, what all have you done? I know recently a Chinese organization was painting some parks, whatever. I'm not sure if it's you, your organization.
Yeah, it wasn't us doing that, but others would do that. So when you look at what we have, so you have quite a couple of organizations that are sort of China-centric. So you have the Dragon Boat Federation, which puts on the Dragon Boat event on an annual
basis. That's not
you? No, that's not us. That's not us.
I didn't know there's so many organizations.
So we just support that.
Oh, okay.
And then you also have, obviously, the Chinese Business Association as well that does that. And then you have us. So those are really sort of the three major organizations that are around. And we all help each other and we're all interconnected. Now, when it comes to the BCFA, Bahamas China Friendship Association, there are several initiatives that we take on an ongoing basis. And these are things that obviously, and some new ones that we just brought up. So on an ongoing basis, the ones we normally would do is our trade mission. And that actually fulfills our objective of establishing economic opportunities between the people of China and the Bahamas. So this coming April, we have a trade mission that's going to go to the Canton Fair and then Yiwu, China, which is the largest commodities market in the world. So the dates of this trade mission is April 13th to the 28th. And so the first 3 days of the mission, we're going to be at the Canton Fair in Guangzhou. I said that correctly, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, right. Guangzhou. So we'll be at the Canton Fair in Guangzhou. And that's where we can see what the new products are, establish business relationships for people who go. And then for the remainder of the trip, we will then go to Yiwu, China, which is the largest commodities market in the world. When I say largest, here's what I mean. You have over 2 million products, and you have over, 75,000 vendors. And so any commodity product that you've ever seen in Amazon, you've ever seen in Walmart, you've ever seen locally in Kelly's or Bahamas Welding and Fire or AID, you will see in Yiwu. In fact, you will see the Bahamas tourists trinkets that they sell to the tourists in Yiwu. All of them are there. Everything is there. And so if you're a small business owner and you want to establish direct relationships with these suppliers, Yiwu is where you want to go. What makes Yiwu very important for us is that Yiwu also allows you to make small quantity orders. So if you go to a show like Canton, you may have to order, you know, trailers and of things. You go to Yiwu, you may order a few pallets or couple of hundred of items. So you as a small business owner don't have to outlay significant amounts of cash in order to get good quality products that you can bring to the Bahamas. Right. So those trade missions are important for us. We do two trade missions a year. There's the spring trade mission in April, and then there's the fall trade mission, which is going to be in September. Right now, we have over 15 people that have already registered for the trade mission. The deadline to do your $500 non-refundable deposit is actually February the 1st. So that's in 2 days. And so we just have 10 slots open in the 25 is what's available to you. And so we want people, if you're interested, go on
what
and register.
What type of people would be interested? Or who are you targeting?
A trade mission last September, it's mostly small business owners. So you have individuals that may own retail shops or may own businesses that are out of their homes. And then we have individuals that may own that own businesses that are established. And so they're going to China to form direct relationships. If you think about how commerce works, typically you have a lot of middlemen that fit in. And so what these opportunities give you is the ability to go directly to the manufacturing, or instead of dealing with two or three middlemen, you're dealing with one who becomes a manufacturer, who's really a manufacturer's rep within that particular market space. And so it gives you the opportunity now to see a variety of products that may appeal to you and your audience and actually negotiate much more favorable pricing. So now when you come back with your goods to the Bahamas, you can offer better discounts, better pricing, so you compete on the pricing side of it and still maintain the profit margins that you had before when you had a bunch of middlemen in the front where you were having to charge higher pricing. So it makes you more competitive. The other thing it does for the economy as a whole is now you have commodity prices, products rather, that now are brought to you at lower prices because a lot of those middlemen that you would typically deal with, they're now cut out of the equation. So that's the benefit not only to the business owner, but that's the benefit ultimately to the public at large.
I want to speak back to Brown, right? Ian Brown. But before I move to him, because I want to ask him about if there's an embassy, is there a Caribbean presence in China? And then walk me through how they can get one scholarship. I have a child who needs one scholarship. Just walk me through that. Give me some ideas. And for the listening audience who have children too, they can benefit from hearing that. But before I get to that, right, I wanted to ask, how do I get in contact with you? I see I have phone calls coming in soon too.
I mean, it's easy. Honestly, on our website, you have a BCFA242.org website. There's a email there called info@bcfa242.org. And all of the officers in the organization get that email sent to them. So if you have a question, you can send a message to info@bcfa242.org. And then there's some phone numbers on the website as well that you can call. And so we can answer any questions you have about what's happening in the organization. And whenever I have an event, we typically talk about it publicly. You're welcome to come and attend and get to know the members of the organization. So we're open. You know, we want to demystify this whole connection to China for Bahamians, which is why we have another program called the Video Log Program, which I'll talk about later. But it's really understanding that it's not a big hurdle to get over to form these relationships and obviously speak the language and really take advantage of the relationships that the government obviously started back in 1997.
Okay, I'm come back to that. Ian, I have 2.5 nieces. You say half?
Okay.
One is like a niece in law, so So I have a Courtney Deems and Aaron Deems. I'm not sure if you're familiar with any of them. They studied in China, actually. Right. They speak Mandarin, whatever it is. Big jobs back in there. One did medicine, one did international business.
Okay, right
there.
Okay.
But they ain't telling me the secret on how to get one scholarship.
Yeah.
And my child now, at the age, she's a newbie. Uh-huh. I try to ship her out, but I don't have to pay no money.
Yeah.
I need ideas on what is the best route. So, keyword there, I don't have to pay no money. Uh-huh. I just want to pay for the plane ticket to get there and everything else. Uh-huh. How does one get one scholarship in China?
So, there's going to be 3 major ways you can do it. The first one is course with us, BCFA. Because all the scholarships.
I can come into the organization and ask for scholarship?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no problem.
I got to come join
That's
you.
That's why we have the info there.
Okay, I got to come join you.
So once you're part of the association, what you get the benefit of it too is every scholarship that comes through, we'll be the ones to get first hands first, and we'll be the ones who tell out to the public as well. So that's that, the first one. Second one, of course, directly with the embassy. Chinese embassy is here. It's here in the Bahamas. They have a website as well, but you can have email and they'll contact you with different kind of things, stuff like that. And then the third way to know about a scholarship, hey, call me. There you go.
He's calling you.
I want to interject one more thing as well. University of Bahamas also has formed some relationships with universities in China. Mm-hmm. And so they have programs where you can do scholarships as well as student exchange.
I remember seeing that.
Those things are going to come on stream in terms of much more of a public fashion.
Yes.
But I do know that those relationships have been formed and they probably are looking for opportunities to really introduce students to these scholarships as well.
Yeah, but public is there though. But I will say the deadline is on. So you have until Valentine's Day. So tell your family instead of looking instead of looking for love, they can look for love in China. There you go.
And the Caribbean presence, because I won't go to the caller to embrace the caller. Uh-huh. Is there a good Caribbean presence in China?
All the Caribbean.
Or Bahamian presence in China?
Everything is there. So we have an embassy there in the Bahamas, in the China.
Okay, when we say that, I have a half niece. She works at the embassy, Antoinette Ingram.
Yeah, I know her.
Oh, see,
we know each other.
She didn't tell me again how to get a scholarship for my child. But that's why I come to you now. You could be my link.
Yeah, there's many of scholarships with it. Like I say, the first thing, the embassy will give a big blast out to everybody. They'll tunnel through to us, to the association. They'll tunnel to the university. And it's first day. So whoever wants to come get it, go get it. But again, the current one right now, deadline is February 14th, so get on it. Usually the scholarship portal, if you want to use that word, usually starts around October, November to get everybody to get ready. And the sooner you do it, the better, because it is a bit of a long process.
Is it like a limited amount of people get to go, or is it like, okay, we have 10 spots, and then we send you around China?
Well, it depends on the scholarship. Some of them are just open to the public, because it's how we are in the Bahamas. They just want to open it. And some of them are limited, because the downside of it is because since we are a smaller country, not much people tapping into the scholarship. So now we have like some scholarships like only 2 people, okay, the first 4 people, or the first 10 people, we think. And then you have other ones that's like, as much people we could get, no problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go to this corner.
One of the other things too as well, I want to talk about a relationship. So you talk about the Caribbean. So at Jinan University, which is in Shandong Province, very, very prestigious university, they actually have a Caribbean research organization where they actually have a department that's focused on studying the Caribbean and how Chinese is attached. The Chinese diaspora is connected to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that that obviously demonstrates that China has a genuine interest in the Caribbean, Caribbean people, Caribbean history, and how China is connected to the Caribbean. Yeah. And obviously a lot of us may have heard of Zheng He, which is a famous Chinese explorer, which many people said he may have come to the Caribbean as Chinese indentured servants. They look at and study all of these connections between China and the Caribbean as well.
Oh, that's nice, because I'm not sure if you know, because I study history, that on in ancient Chinese maps, they actually, like pre-Columbus, they actually have the Bahamas on some maps.
Yeah, that's Zheng He. That's actually the voyages of Zheng He. In fact, a lot of people speculate that the famous Bimini Road was actually made by Zheng He.
Yeah.
in his travels. Because if you look at how that formation sets up, they say that he was off the coast of Florida. His ships needed to be repaired. So they built these rock formations in order to pull his ships up. And these ships are like 250, 260 feet. Mm. And if you look at how those rock formations are set up versus how his ship was done, it's like a perfect fit to do that. Because there's also studies where some alligators that are only found in South Florida, actually in parts of China, they've done the genetic mapping. Yeah. And these alligators could only come from Florida, but they end up in China. And these are old alligators.
So
but
Zhonghe is
who they speculate.
We need to tell that story. We need to tell that story. But let me get to this caller too, so the caller can engage you. Mm-hmm. And then we'll continue our conversation with that. Okay? Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. We're talking to Mr. Moxie and Mr. Brown. They are part of the Bahamas China Friendship Association. Go ahead.
Usual CA and you guys, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Right on, man. Yeah, because of how the Chinese and the Bahamian relationship together, right? Ask them if they don't mind asking the Chinese embassy that they don't donate a power station, you know, to help us with our light bill. Don't know. So our light bill would be $3,000 a month. Now, that would be helpful. And also, right, ask you your second question before you guys go, right? Man, a car cut across me on the sixth leg roundabout this morning, right? And he cussed me out. How do I say your ma in Chinese? I would tell him so about your ma in Mandarin.
Well,
now that'd be helpful.
All right, no problem. For the second question, if you come to our calligraphy event,
right,
we actually teach you different Bahamian phrases in Chinese.
Yes.
Exactly. It won't be as strongly as saying what he wanted to translate, but we got something that'll be in more of that range. And then for the first one, that above our pay grade, my friend.
Exactly. Exactly. We leave that government to government. We don't touch that.
I have another caller who wants to engage. Prep that caller for me. Moxie, do you speak Mandarin?
Ni hao, se jian. That's all I know.
That's it.
That's it.
But you pronounce these provinces like you.
Because I've been to quite a bit of them, honestly, traveling in China. And the one thing I do have to learn, obviously, is Mandarin. I'm fascinated by the language. That's why I want to hear our members like Ian and some others. We think we have probably about 7 or 8 fluent Mandarin speakers that are in our organization today.
Bahamian Mandarin speakers.
No Asian roots, no Chinese roots, nothing.
Exactly.
Just studied
it's amazing. It's amazing when I hear them speak. So I'm always fascinated by it. As well.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the call again. Guided Radio AM, you're live.
Yeah, pleasure. Good morning, see you. Good morning to your guests. My question is, what is the itinerary to China, and what is the longest time that you're in the air? I'm scared to be in the air for 9-10 hours. Oh. But do you all have like a needle or a pill you could take in your
I don't know, but I tell you what, if you're talking about traveling to China, you need to plan for at least 15 to 17 hours of flight time. So if you're not familiar, if you're not prepared for that, then that's going to be tough. But what I tell people is you got to prepare for it and recognize you're going to be in that seat for quite a bit. Now, obviously, airlines allow you to get up, walk around. We tell some people sometimes you may wear compression socks. So it's a little bit sort of different in flying. And you got to get used sometimes to sleeping on the plane or finding things to entertain yourself with movies and things of that nature, because it's just a long flight. That's just exactly what it is. Now, when I fly, my preference is to fly west. Because if you fly west, you cut several hours off your trip. Because you're essentially, the world is spinning in the opposite direction. You're going to the west. It's coming. So you're kind of cutting some time off. So that always cuts time off. And typically you can go from, let's say, Nassau to maybe Atlanta to LA and then LA into Shanghai. And that long flight is probably 12, 14 hours going that way as well. But again, you get a comfortable seat. You just prepare your mind that you're going to be on a plane for that many hours, and then that's it.
So, what is the itinerary that you? Because I really want to be on this flight in September. God spare my life. Right.
I mean, what we do? Great question. So, when we plan our trade mission trips, we put together an itinerary from a flight perspective that is an average flight. Not everybody takes the same flight, just so you know. Because different people may want to go through London, or some people may want to go through Canada, some people may go through the US, some people may want to fly a plane where they have frequent flyer miles. It's entirely up to them. We have a travel agent who's a member who works with us, and they work with you to determine your best itinerary that you want to take. The only thing we tell people is you want to meet in a certain city at a certain time range because you want to make sure that everybody arrives at the same time. Mm-hmm. How you get there, the pathway you take, that's entirely up to you.
Everybody don't necessarily leave as a group on a particular day and they something like that.
That's exactly right. And we do that because we want to have maximum flexibility because people have preferences in terms of how they want to fly, which airline they want to go to. And that's how we do it. And that's worked for us from day one. We've always done it that way. The key thing is that we tell everybody you must be in a certain city at a certain time. And everybody adheres to that given their flight times.
Okay.
Now, when we get there, we provide, in these trade missions, we provide guides, we provide translators, we provide transportation. We also set up tours, cultural tours that are all a part of this as well. So when you get there, based on what your interests are, we then separate you into groups. You then have your own tour guide and translator that comes with you through EWU. Because I can tell you the EWU market, the commodities market, is large. You will never get through that entire market. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And okay. I'm describing how big it is now, but until you get there, you don't really understand just how big this is. Mm-hmm. And so to make sure that you can get through the process in a way that actually is beneficial for you, we provide the guides who can translate for you as well. And so we want to make sure that you have the most beneficial trip that you can have with us.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Longfield.
Thank you very much. Ian Brown, I'll ask you another question. Mm-hmm. Is living in China expensive? Because if I can send a child there, and I live in on the budget, right? I want to know if when I send the money to Western Union, can she afford to live and survive?
Very much so. So I'll put it this way. I'll take terms of school fee. You can even pay that out of pocket if you want to.
That cheap?
So like if you go to a regular, like a mid-level college, university.
Yeah.
1 year tuition, the full year, probably around $3,000.
Say it again.
$3,000 for 1 year of university.
Man,
around that price.
That's nice.
Now, per month living, you could send her like $500 and she'll be
straight.
More than good. If you send her $1,000, oh,
she could be rich.
She'd be in heaven.
She could like be like Nigerian princess.
She'll be traveling all over China.
Okay, good. I just get in my head because what type of money you spend.
Yeah, because the conversion rate will be much. So it's like if you put in a, give you like, let's just say you give $1,000 in Chinese money, that'll be about 7,000 kwai. That's Chinese money. Yeah. And like how everything's very cheap. So out of that 7,000, one full meal will probably cost you like $20 of that Chinese money. Hmm. So imagine if she, and that's if you want to eat out every day for every meal. Hmm. Now, if you're cooking, probably going to spend like, out of that 1,000, maybe like 2,000 of that for groceries, and you're straight for the whole month. You have all that money sitting around. Mm-hmm. And you can use that to travel, do whatever you want to do. So
it's affordable. Okay. You think more Bahamians should take advantage, even if they don't get a scholarship, to say, man, China's an option?
They should. Like, the only problems we have about China, for everybody, is two reasons. One is the plane ticket, of course, because a round-trip ticket is going to be around $2,000, depending on the season. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, for our culture, we're mostly a family-based people. Mm-hmm. So for to be that far away from family, that's a rough one. But I'd like everybody to realize this because all of us who went to China, our parents had to went through, it's like, you're too far. But they understood, like, we went there for a mission and we came back home.
Yeah.
Now, of course, majority of us come back home. Some stay and do better lives, but it's for the best because you'll be surprised how many Bahamians are in many different parts of the country, many different parts of the world, and nobody knows. So instead of, like, everybody right now is trying to, like, find a better option than North. Mm-hmm. So why not use China? It's right here.
And there are options now. When I was younger, I didn't know there's other options to go and live.
Yeah. But okay. The only issue we have right now as it comes to the options is if people don't take them, they'll take them away.
Mm. Right.
So if we need more people to get us, it'll be more widespread, more availability, more trips available.
So more Bahamians need to apply for the scholarship in order for the scholarship
to
be available.
Take the leap.
Let me reiterate exactly what Mr. Brown said. I think it was probably 2 years ago, I think the Chinese embassy, as well as certain provinces, in total, we had almost 60 scholarships available. Mm-hmm. And I think probably 40 of them went unfilled.
Wow.
And so, again, as Brown said, you can go to our website, bcfa242.org. There's a graphic up there that talks about the scholarship program. You click on that, and you go straight to the Chinese site. Again, the deadline is February 14th. Go ahead, fill it in, put in the application, and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Because there are lots of opportunities. to learn. And not only just university scholarships, every once in a while, too, professional development opportunities come on stream as well. Those are scholarships where if you're in business, there may be short courses that talk about entrepreneurship, technology, AI, that may last 3, 4, 5 weeks or more. And then you have the ability to earn those scholarships to do that professional development training as well. Right. And so all of these opportunities are available to you. And we talk about the food in China all the time.
Oh, boy.
I love the food in China.
Right.
The food in China is excellent. Some of the best food ever. The very first time I went
once
to China.
Once I can get pepper steak, I straight.
Listen, you get more than
you don't
that.
Need pepper steak.
Believe me.
You don't need that
better
at all.
Food.
Ooh,
better food.
Up a pepper steak.
It's better food. Yeah. I'm telling you. The first time I went to China, I was there for 2 weeks. I gained 20 pounds.
Wow.
In 2 weeks. That's how much I ate. Mm. And the food is just unbelievable. Unbelievable to me. I mean, it's great food.
Once again, get a salt and pepper pork chop too. Ice street.
Oh, you'll get more than that. You'll get plenty of that. Oh, don't worry about that.
Let's talk about fun things that the organization does. You mentioned something about some kind of video log.
Yeah. So what we've done, great question. So this is a new project we just started late last year. And so recognizing that there are quite a number of Bahamians who've made the trip to China and cataloged that trip. And there's some Bahamians who want to go or may not have the opportunity to go. So we said, why not put together a competition where people who have gone to China can put together a 1 to 5 minute video of their experience in China and tell it from a Bahamian's perspective. And so in doing that, then we said, how do we encourage people to do that? Well, we created a contest called the Video Log Contest. So we separated into adult travelers and youth travelers. So youth up to 18 within high school, adult 18 and beyond. And we have three levels of prizes. First prize is $800 in cash. Second is $500 in cash. Third is $300 in cash.
Good money just for having fun.
Exactly, exactly. Great money. So for us, we started it late last year. We got about 9 or 10 entries. And we said, you know what, let's expand it and give it more time. So we relaunched the program starting January 1. And you have to have your videos in by October 15th of this year. Mm-hmm. So we'll be putting a lot of promotions around this and advertisements. Some of the individuals who have already submitted videos, we'll have them on promoting their video, talking about their experience in China. Because what we're trying to do, again, is demystify this whole idea of going to China. What's the food like? What's the people like? What's your culture like? And Ian can tell you, too, you go to China as a Bahamian and people like us, we get treated like celebrities.
Yeah,
and he's tall. Yeah. He's a tall guy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they thought he was a basketball player. They probably asked for his autographs.
Yeah.
I mean, I've walked in China and gone in places where people have looked at me and they want to take photos with me, if you will, as well, because they treat you, they are so welcoming. And the experience you get, until you really see it, you can't really understand it. So our whole thing is get Bahamians to talk about their experience so everybody can understand it. And then they can determine if that's something they want to do or not. Or even if they can't, they can live vicariously through these Bahamians who've had those experiences. Mm. So that's what the video log competition is all about. And we're excited about it. And obviously, we want to show these experiences to the broader Bahamian public.
You mentioned this trade mission. I'm going back to that. I buy from China.
Right.
I'm not sure if you know. There's a site called Alibaba.
Yep.
I get all my watches.
Yep.
I get a lot of watches.
Yep.
And
yep.
Now I'm trying to find out, you saying that businesses can go there and buy products. And I said, but I have Alibaba already.
So the price you pay on Alibaba is probably 2 to 3 times what you would pay if you go directly to eBay.
But Alibaba cheap.
But that tells you exactly what you get these goods for directly from the manufacturers or the manufacturer's reps. And so I tell people all the time, Alibaba is, again, another middleman, you see? You go to, and then you got to pay the shipping, too.
Yes.
So you go, I mean, the air shipping, if you use the expensive way to go it. So now you go to Ebu, you can find those very same products. You can find the manufacturers or the manufacturer's reps, and you can buy directly from them. They also have it where for certain products, if you meet a certain minimum order quantity, they can put your own brand on it. And for instance, the tools, like you'll see tools, the Milwaukee Brown tools or the Skill Set tools or the Black & Decker tools. These are the exact tools. There's really only 7 tool manufacturers in all of China, and they make everybody's tools. So you can go pretty much, you have the same thing. You meet the minimum quantity order, and you now have your own tool brand that you can bring in and market for yourself as well. I mean, it's hard to describe it, but when you go to Ebu, that marketplace, it is completely overwhelming. And there's nothing you can think of as a commodity product that isn't an Ewu.
Let's talk again, going back to the Association General, the Bahamas China Friendship Association. You being Donovan Moxie being the president, Ian Brown being the secretary. How do you these positions, secretary, treasurer, right, and stuff get voted in.
Excellent. Not beautiful. So when we go back to the founding of the
We're going to take a quick break first.
Okay, that's fine. We can talk about it.
So but I want to know that. Yes, just in case I need to become president again on scholarship. Thank you very much, Kermit. We can take this quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to Mr. Moxie about how I can become president of the Bahamas China Friendship Association. So I just usher him on the side, and then I can take advantage of whatever opportunities and that they're afforded. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have members from the Bahamas China Friendship Association in studio. We have the president, Mr. Donovan Moxie, and we, of course, we have the secretary, Mr. Ian Brown. Mr. Ian Brown used to live in China. He studied in China. He's back home. We have a business now. They have a big trade mission later on in the year. They have two trade missions per year. I was talking about scholarships and opportunity. I just asked Mr. Moxie about the fun things his organization do. He mentioned his video log. I mentioned earlier that how does one become an executive member of the association, but I saw on TV yours kite flying. I saw you being interviewed about kite flying, and they had these Chinese Asian type kites, and I assume that's part of the fun things that you all do.
Yes, definitely. So one of the other event we do on an annual basis is our Chinese kite flying event. Now we're making it a full blown festival. Chinese kite flying
festival.
Yes,
that means they come to food then.
Yes. Okay. So what we've done in the past and we'll continue to do is we invite children from underprivileged communities and homes to come out for a day of kite flying and fun and games. Mm. And so we provide the food, we provide the chaperones, and obviously we get assistance from Rotary, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, and other volunteer groups. But we come out, we assemble the Chinese kites for them, and then we help them fly these kites. Mm. And at the end of the day, they get to take their kites home.
Really?
Yes, with them as well. So it's really immersing these young people into experiences that they may not normally have. And so one of the biggest joys is really as a child is getting a kite and seeing that kite up in the air and then being able to hold that kite in the air as well. Mm-hmm. And so we have a great time doing that. So this year now we're going to expand it to the general public to come in. So now we're going to have a kite flying festival where not only our invited guests would be there, but also members of the general public would be able to come in. You'll be able to purchase kites at a very, very reasonable price, buy food, and enjoy flying your kite. We're also looking to team up with some of the various kite groups that are here in the Bahamas who actually make kites the way we used to do in the olden days and come and fly those kites as well. So it'll be a meshing of both Bahamian kite culture as well as Chinese kite culture as well.
Okay. So what about the calligraphy thing? I saw an advertisement about that before.
Yes. We have the event, as Mr. Brown has talked about, is really our calligraphy and wine tasting event. So we have a great partner in Commonwealth Brewery where we provide full meal, a full selection of wines, and then a calligraphy. So what we've done is we've taken Bahamian phrases like Kamiela Mafiksha, reverse back, my head to swing. There's quite a bit of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have literally quite a bit of these phrases that we have every day in the Bahamian vernacular. And we then translated these phrases into Mandarin.
Can I suggest a word to translate?
Mr. Brown here, go ahead.
Ready? Ah. Would you translate ah?
It can't really translate Chinese because that's more of like a sound.
Sound,
us.
Yeah.
That's a word. No, you said, Nuri, what you said, ah?
But again, that's like more of a sound for us, because that's just like saying Chinese are saying what? Like, it doesn't translate as smoothly versus saying something like, oh, current off. Well, we can translate that, you know, which is Juan Dian, current off. We can have that stuff. We have stuff like that.
You ain't got no broad up.
You ain't got no broad. Small up yourself. Yeah. I run hard. My head is swinging.
And you have that in Mandarin.
Yeah. Yes. We did that for you. So what happens is people come and we target corporate Bahamas because this is a great, great team building event. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So you'd come in, you'd see literally a couple hundred phrases. You pick the one or a couple or two that best suits you. You then come and you get the ink and the brush, and you come and you actually trace the calligraphy language. We have the English meaning, we have the Chinese translation, and you get to say it. Mm-hmm. So now when you go to work the next day, you can now say your favorite Bahamian phrase, you know, in Mandarin.
I could say ah in Mandarin.
Probably sounds like ah.
But it's
a fun event. But the thing is this, is that the proceeds from that event then go to fund our kite flying event for the underprivileged youth in our communities. And so it's something that we enjoy, and everybody who's come there, they enjoy it. That's typically in July is when we have it.
Okay. When the former ambassador died, so you're familiar with the ambassador, she used to invite me to Chinese events where I could get eat food.
Right.
You also have events where you
all
eat
the
food?
All the time.
Nobody invited me to
the Chinese New Year celebration.
Yeah, every event.
I'm hinting,
Chinese
by the way.
Celebration.
I'm hinting, by the way. Ambassador is no longer here, and I like to eat Chinese food.
All right.
If someone can invite me and say, well, we're having some Chinese food, and let me invite Mr. Nuri, and I'd be happy to show up.
Well, I'll say the closest thing you could get to is Chinese New Year. Because Chinese New Year is coming up. The official event, the official New Year season is February 17th. But the embassy is going to have different events coming around.
Okay.
So they usually have like a week-long full of events. You know, some where they want special guests, some for the open public. So once we get the invite for open public, you'll be right there.
All right. Exactly. Don't be promising me things.
No, we got you covered. Right, we got you covered.
Yeah, open public. Because these events, they're pretty popular. So once we get the ones where the public is available, we'll let you know for sure.
Yes. Let me squeeze this caller in, and then we'll wrap up and you give some general information on how to get in contact with you, and particular information about the trade show again one more time. Okay? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Hello.
Turn on your radio, and then you're live. Go ahead.
Yes. Mr. Moxie, I'm calling about the kite situation. Do they also fly Bahamian kites, Bahamian-made kites?
Yes. In fact, this past year, we had a gentleman that brought out a kite. The tail was probably about 50 feet long.
Yeah, bigger than the table, of course.
Yeah, and the kite was bigger than his table, and he flew that kite. That was the biggest kite I'd ever seen. So what we're going to do this coming year with the festival, and I don't know if you're a kite enthusiast, is we will invite anybody who makes Bahamian kites to come out to this festival, and we will have a blend of the two cultures.
The old-fashioned farmer kite, diving bell, and the tea kite.
Yes.
Talking about.
Yes. No, when I was a kid, I used to make the tea kites. I used to make the octagon square kites, the ones where you could have the little, they could buzz, but you have the little piece. Oh, yeah. Believe me, I grew up in Ridgeland Park, so I knew exactly how to do those things.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's something that I think we need to pass on to our children.
Oh, without question.
Today, sure. And go about making them. We used to make them from coconut straw, as well as the shingle. And stuff like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember those days. Believe me, I do. Yeah.
I'll also say, too, when more people come out like you, you can also help us know how to fly the kites. Because even though we have, like, the production, like, oh, this is how you fly a kite, we still have people know how to actually fly it, get in the air nice and high. Yep. So we have more people like you guys coming along, teaching them how to fly the kite, keeping them in the air. That'd be more helpful, too.
Exactly.
Well, it'd be good to have that program on a little bit more, you know, because... I think because I'm a first time listener to your show, and I think it's a good program.
Thanks very much.
I wish I could get my daughter into getting over there to China now.
Good. We can work, make that happen. Thanks again, caller. Kermit, let's even get this caller in. Go ahead, caller. It's squeezing you in. You're live.
Yeah, talking about them kites. How big that kite was, the guy had with a 50-foot tail on it, though?
Oh, man, that was pretty big. I mean, the width of that kite, I can't remember. It was big. Yeah. And trying to hold it, it took almost two people just to hold it while it was in the air.
How tall it was?
It was a huge kite.
Like, big as a truck kite. Almost. Yeah,
big and it had a tail on it. Was it a tea kite?
No. It was an octagon type kite.
Yeah.
It was an octagon shaped kite.
I managed to fly tea kites out there on the fourth. I had to make, like, 6-foot tea kites without tail. And they fly without tail. It's a matter of balance.
Wow.
And I hook up two and three of them and chain and slide them. Like it's just a small kite.
Sally, you're an expert, man. You need to come out. November is when we have our event. We'll be talking about it more, but
November,
we're going to invite November. It's typically the third or the fourth Saturday in November. We haven't said the date. We typically have it at Aquinas College Grounds is where we are.
Aquinas College Grounds.
Yeah, but we will make the announcements, and we're looking for all the local kite enthusiasts to come out because now this year will be a full-blown kite festival.
But, you know, if you get too many kites, you're going to have a lot of tangling up.
No, I understand, but there's a lot of space out there. There's a lot of space. And so we have some space to deal with that.
Thank you very much, Colin. A quick question before you do all the wrap-up, Mr. Moxie. It says, good morning. Please ask, what is the weather year-round in China?
The weather year-round, it depends on the season. So around this time of year, well, we've talked in terms of Fahrenheit, it'll be around the 20s and 10s and go down, depending on what city you're at, because you have, how it's such a big country, certain regions, some are more colder. If you're more to the seaside, go more than the mountains, a little more hotter, things like that. So they'll do the whole four seasons where they'll go as low as 20 degrees, 30 degrees, 10 degrees, depending on where you're at, especially rough in the mountains, more colder, and they go as high as almost like Bahamian temperatures in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And next question is, how much is the ticket for your trade mission?
Yeah, our trade mission right now, all things being equal in terms of what's been estimated, the cost is around $4,750.
And what all that includes?
That includes your hotel. That includes your airfare. Now, I'll put a little asterisk on the airfare because it depends on when you book the ticket, so that can float through. Mm-hmm. That includes your transportation. That also includes your touring and translation services.
That's all inclusive.
Yeah, it's pretty much all inclusive. There's some things that come out of pocket here and there, mm-hmm. but for the most part, we try to make it all inclusive. And we tell everybody here, like the hotels we stay at, I tell you the best and nicest hotels I've ever stayed at in my life. And I've traveled in Europe. I've traveled in the Caribbean, all over North America. Of the best hotels I've ever stayed in, been in China.
Is there like a web page where I can see past pictures, like videos?
Yeah, you go to our Facebook page. So mm-hmm. right now, the starting point is really our website, mm-hmm. which is bcfa242.org. Mm-hmm. Once you get there, you can connect to our Facebook page. Once mm-hmm. you connect to our Facebook page, our PR executive puts a lot of those images up, so you can go and see those images as well.
Okay, and now we have 1 minute. That 1 minute is yours, Mr. Moxie.
Well, again, thank you very much for allowing us here, Mr. Yeah. Nuri. And what we'd like to say is that, you know, if you really want to understand China, you want to make the connection on a cultural basis, on an education basis, on an economic basis, we are an organization that can help you do that. And so if you have any questions about anything whatsoever, the starting point is our website, which is www.bcfa242.org. You'll find phone numbers you can use to call. You'll find a list of all of our events. And obviously, you'll find the email address, which is info@bcfa242.org. And we thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I want to know about China so I can get some Chinese food. And now you plan to invite me to special parties. Oh, yeah. I already get Mr. Brown's head covered.
No problem.
I straight.
Yeah, yeah.
I straight. I appreciate it. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Of course, I'm C.A. Nuri. I enjoyed this conversation, Mr. Moxie, Mr. Brown. Yes, have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.